The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. It's Monday. Big day, news day. Lots of things to chatter about, to talk about, to discuss. I'm not sure if anything was resolved, as is usually the case in big-time geopolitics now. The president, such as he is or isn't, told Hannity, according to Fox, that he blames Mueller for driving the U.S. and Russia further and further apart. Well, Mr. President, you could have fired Mueller a long time ago, but you don't seem to be able to do that, so don't bitch about it. It's your doing. You could fire the guy. Meanwhile, others are not happy about Mr. Trump's day today. Let's see. Who was it? Who was it that said... Everybody was teeing off on him from left, right, center. They were saying it was a disgraceful summit. It was disgusting. It was treasonous. It just goes on and on. Even John McCain rose up on one elbow at least and said it was a disgrace. Senator Jeff Flake said shameful. So it goes on and on. I guess what we're looking at here, honestly, is just one big sideshow, a freak show, as Gerald Celente would say. It is. It's a freak show. I don't know what else to say. It's just absurd. Trump goes over there and he wants so badly to be accepted and liked and be looked at as an international power figure, and he wants Putin to like him, and he comes back here and he starts saying things that he's clearly being instructed to say. When he gets off his leash, he says some reasonable things, some of which actually harken back to the good old days of that campaign, Make America Great Again, which unfortunately never came to pass. First up tonight is our colleague and friend of two or three lifetimes, Charlotte Thompson Iserbeet. And Charlotte is sitting by there in the beautiful state of Black Somalia, Maine. Oh, excuse me, Charlotte. Sorry.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not often speechless.
Yeah. You live near Mogadishu, Maine, don't you? Isn't that what it is?
Well, it's the east coast of Africa that's bothering us the most.
Yeah.
We have a lot of wonderful blacks in this country who...
You bet we do. They're not sub-Saharan blacks from the Stone Age. They're American citizens.
These are great.
Paid their dues. They're intelligent. They care. They've contributed mightily to this country. And they must be as disgusted in many cases as we are.
I think they're more disgusted, but they obviously don't get any media coverage. I mean, I don't get any major media coverage, and I know a lot of these blacks, and If I'm not able to get any, I mean, with my big mouth.
No, they don't get any. They
don't get any coverage, it makes me sick. It's all deliberate. It's all Linsky techniques to turn us against one another. I say that in every, that's one thing I say in every interview. I'm just disgusted.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the major media keeps everybody focused on these, you know, arguments, discussions, whether Trump and Putin are friends or enemies, or is Putin bad? Well, of course he is. I mean, you look, he wouldn't be alive if he wasn't bad. Once KGB, always KGB. But I do respect him. High intellect compared to what we've got in the White House. And I really have to admit to my audience today that I don't pay awfully much attention to the major media anymore, because I may be wrong, but I think it's a huge diversion from what's really going on.
It's an engine of social engineering and deceit. It's not news. It is not news, and you shouldn't pay attention to it.
I mean, we see things going on right now in Maine that are bothering me enormously, and we've got, you know, I've got, what, three things I want to talk about. There are three issues. Well, one, of course, is Jake Speed, who fortunately, you know, you had him on, you know, from Wisconsin, who has been a great patriot and telling the truth there on the school board and absolutely terrorized by every element of in quotes, government. And I finally did help Jake understand that he's a good researcher, but he hadn't looked at the State Policy Information Network list of Heritage Foundation, the role of the Heritage Foundation in Wisconsin, which obviously did the same thing they did to me. They had to take him down. And I think he now understands that they were deeply involved. And wherever you have one of their affiliates in your state, if you're speaking out for the United States Constitution and the way the country should be, you're going to be attacked by one of the spin networks. You had a great article. Well, it wasn't a great. I'm sorry, I wrote it. But anyway, there was an article up there.
It's all right.
The one you had up there. What's it called? Too late.
Too late to the table.
Yeah, too late to the table. People can find that. You know, here we've got all these neocon Trotskyites trying to cover up their role in getting the horrible elementary, Every Student Succeeds Act passed. They waited until, you know, 5 minutes before the vote to do it. And that tells you something about who Heritage is, National Review, all the conservative organizations. They did nothing. You fought hard, you know. You were the one who invented No Way ESSA.
Yes. Yeah.
And my blog told the truth all the way through. And then at the last minute, they had the nerve, if you can believe it, one of their websites to put me on a couple of days before with my plea to Representative Lee or Senator Lee in Utah not to vote for the thing. They put me on. All of a sudden, Charlotte gets put there. We've been 18 months fighting the thing. Well, you know, I'm just talking about this wretched neoconservative operation in this country that has been run by the Heritage Foundation out of Washington, the State Policy Information Network that has their, you know, little whatever group it is, it doesn't always have the name Heritage in it, which controls everything in the state, and all these good people, they do not understand that this is total treason. And I'm coming right out and saying it, that the Heritage Foundation, I've done my research, is the Trojan horse.
Yes, ma'am.
And how many times do I have to repeat this, although maybe people don't see anything wrong with the Heritage Foundation agenda? But
don't even know what it is, Charlotte.
Well, I keep saying what it is, okay? One, in a nutshell, they drafted the North American Free Trade Agreement. That happens to be free trade, folks. That's free trade that we don't like, that's taken hundreds of thousands of jobs out of this country.
Right.
This is the Heritage Foundation that is supposed to support the Constitution, has the name Heritage in it. They've been doing this since the beginning of the 1980s. I have the whole record on them, okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right, free trade. Then you've got them approving the agreement between Reagan and Gorbachev to merge the two education systems, plus implement all the regional government, which we're looking at, all the agreements with the different groups in your state that go back and forth, et cetera, agreeing with everything going on in Russia, Russia, U.S., Russia education, Russia regional government, et cetera. Okay. Then you've got, I mean, look, how many times, I just have to keep saying this stuff. I don't know. It don't make any difference, I guess. All right. Who drafted the first socialized medicine agenda in the United States?
In this country.
It wasn't Hillary Clinton.
No, it goes back to...
It was Stuart Butler, who came over from England.
That long ago.
In the late 70s. And worked at Heritage until 4 years ago when he went to work for Brookings.
Wow.
Which is possibly...
So they sent him over here.
Yeah, he was brought over here to put socialized medicine in. I'm beating up on the Brits on this thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, they are our enemy.
Oh, they're the worst. I'm sorry.
Carney said it. You know, he wanted to bring America back to the bosom of Great Britain. And if you follow the trail, you'll see it. Okay, so you have him coming over, drafting socialized medicine, the first one. Romney picked up on it. Then you have tax-funded school choice charters without elected school board. We fought the American Revolution over taxation without representation. That is the Heritage Foundation agenda. They have actually been on that one for how long? Goes way, way back.
Question.
Community-oriented policing system.
Yeah, question,
which
teacher.
Which is the East German Stasi.
Edwin
Meese,
right.
Who's been on board with Heritage and was counselor for Ronald Reagan when he was president, is the one who wrote the latest report approving the community-oriented policing system, which was the group in Portland, Maine, that got the lie out about when my son, the attempted murder of my son. Right away, they put the murderer's story out, that he shot himself in the leg.
Right.
And then a week later, you get the excellent Portland Police Department report. It's just the opposite. So I'm saying Heritage is so involved in everything that I would...
No, it's a total subversion.
As a communist agenda.
Right, total subversion, yeah.
Yes, it is. And, of course, people are sitting out there saying, you know, she's crazy. I wish I were.
Not these wonderful people.
I really wish I were. I have all the documentation. I know what they did here in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
They destroyed the only good organization, really conservative, the state ever had. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I just happened to form it. In the 1970s, when I came back to Maine and I saw the regional government going in, you know, Senator Muskie, he was called Mr. Metro, and he was actually
Mr.
Right.
Metro.
Mr. Metro, they called him, because that's regional government.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw all of this going in, and a lot of us good Mainers at the time saw this, and at that time, Mr. Metro, you know, Edwin Muskie, he knew the whole game plan. You have to give him credit. He said, if we Democrats can't get what we want, we go to the Republicans. So what did he do? He went to Richard Nixon, who carved the country in 10 regions. And that was that. And if people want to know what regional government is, just go read the Morris Seidlin quote in my books and everything I've been writing about for years. He's professor out of the University of California, and he's a communist, and he was writing this in the Communist Daily World.
Huh.
I have the article, and he was bemoaning the fact the United States wasn't moving fast enough towards regional government.
Mm-hmm, right.
It worked so well in the Soviet Union. Direct quote, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is what, and then Heritage, too. I went to a meeting here, Maine Heritage, right? Here, they brought over a professor from New Zealand, and he's speaking to all of us, I suppose. I was lucky I went to that meeting. He's telling all of us how we should move more quickly towards consolidation of everything. Regionalism, folks, that's communism. So what's Heritage bringing him in? Well...
See, if you look at the top to the bottom, it's all about merger and consolidation. everything.
Well, it is. That is communism. That's moving our elected officials as far away from us or absolutely eliminating them.
Getting rid of all antitrust is dead now.
So we have absolutely no say. Now, I've been following this, and I don't really enjoy what I do see is that they destroyed Heritage Foundation and the spin. Well, every state has a state policy information network, and people out there should check this.
Mm-hmm.
Check state policy information network, Georgia, Nebraska, whatever. They don't all have the name Heritage in them. These are the group that Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. set up with funding from the Koch brothers, huge. Mother Jones, it's in that article, Too Late to the Table. Read it. Mother Jones wrote it up, and I know.
The article is right under Charlotte's name and guests. Just click on it. It's right there.
You're going to see what happened. And, yeah, I mean, Mother Jones is, I would say, not Charlotte's persuasion all the time. But I'll tell you, they really got it straight on this one. They got it straight on the spin network. And that network is in every state now, and it is promoting a communist agenda. And you folks have got to check the agenda. This is the biggest Trojan horse operation I ever saw. I can't believe it. I mean, right in Maine, here you know it. Also, you've got Shut Up and Sit Down to my son, Sam, a Marine, you know, a combat veteran in First Gulf War.
Yep.
Who was shot and dead, declared without vitals at the hospital. And he tries to get the word out at a Heritage Foundation luncheon.
No, it's total
abuse. And he's told to shut up and sit down.
Yeah.
Now, that's the cover-up of a murder attempt in the state of Maine. This could be your state, too, happening in the state of Maine. By whom, too? Heritage and, get this one, this is number three. We've got our present attorney general. Her name is Janet Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a pretty bad reputation, if anybody's a true American, because she covered up the whole Sam Isserbeat attempted murder thing, right from her office down to the lowest attorney, assistant attorney, district attorney in Cumberland County. That was covered up mainly by her deputy, Mark Casey. And you have all this stuff up there, you know,
it's all
on
up there.
All of these articles.
Yeah.
Well, this attorney general, she's a Democrat, she's running for governor.
Mm-hmm, of course.
How do you like that?
A communist governor in Maine. Perfect.
Yeah, I just wanted to get this information out. Now, we have a problem. The Republican is running. His name is Moody. And he is totally supported by guess who?
Heritage.
Maine Heritage. So we really don't know that we could do much about him. We don't. We just can't vote for him. But we do have an independent running whose name is Terry Hayes. And although I'm sure she's been a Democrat, and I believe she's independent now, she was on a local school board, got elected twice, and whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but at least it shows she must know something about education.
Mm-hmm.
She's also well-liked by both Republicans and Democrats. She ended up being chosen, whether it was elected or not, I don't know, as state treasurer.
You telling me she has a chance?
Yeah, I do believe she does, because she's an independent.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrat is the governor, Janet Mills, who knows all about Sam's case and covered it all up. And she's, no other Democrats are running against her, okay? So she doesn't have any opposition. Now, in the Republicans, I think there are four. There's this Moody character who's very much in favor of charter schools, school choice, etc., because he's controlled, has been all along, by Governor LePage, who also has been controlled by Maine Heritage. So this is somebody, I mean, I'm certainly
well,
not going
so
to
far I've heard no choices except the independent, that's all.
Yes, because the Republicans have got three or four candidates running, so they're going to split the vote there, hmm?
Yeah.
The independent is just one person, and I can't come out and say I favor her or not because I haven't done enough research on her. But nobody could be worse than the present attorney general that we have.
No, you got to go with the unknown known. The independent
so
is good. Maybe she can beat the populist drum.
It may. I don't know whether they're listening in or not, but Maine was a pilot state for destroying true conservatism in the 70s. We had that group, Maine Conservative Union, that I founded, and we had a couple hundred great, you know, lawyers, doctors, veterinarians, you name it, artists, everybody. We had a great group. We were fighting the Panama Canal, giving away the Panama Canal. We were fighting the Strategic Arms Limitation Agreement that was going through, all of these major issues, and our people were fantastic. We were true conservatives, and that wasn't to be. Maine had conservatives in Maine. We were a conservative state, had to go. So in came, according to Mother Jones' article, in came Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one who suggested setting up this spin network so they would have somebody in every state to control
the dialogue.
He did?
That was him? Huh.
To have somebody in the state to control which way that state was going to go.
Huh.
So, yes, they did come into Maine, and especially in the, I wrote about that in 2000. They were there earlier on, but not well organized. But the Maine Conservative Union was destroyed the minute I came back from Washington after I leaked the document, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bang! We were gone. I was wiped off the face of Maine. You know, they used to shoot you in the Soviet Union. Now they have ways of getting rid of you, just, you know, with technology and all. So I was wiped off the face of Maine as far as being of any influence politically. Steve Schran, too, both of us. And, of course, we're detested by the establishment, you know, right and left. Huh? They hate us. But the point here is that this was a Republican agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, how can I, here I am talking, this is, I just can't believe it. I could cry about what happened. And I'm looking at every state and I'm thinking, if it could happen in Maine, that they could destroy the true conservative movement prior to Ronald Reagan, they, Heritage Foundation, by setting up, you know, with the spin network, which was Ronald Reagan's idea.
Huh. I didn't know that.
If they could do this in every state with a different name, you know, it might not be. It could be, I know, you got Evergreen in the state of Washington.
Uh-huh.
You have a different name. So what you have to do is really just check Google a spin. Well, read the article that Jeff Francis, too late to the table.
Right under
it
Charlotte's name.
It is too late to the table, folks.
Yeah.
We've lost it. And you have to ask why. It wasn't the left. It was the right wing that did it to us. Now, the left, I don't, their agenda, I know what it is. I've always opposed it. That's why I started the Maine Conservative Union. But they tell you what they're doing.
You yes, they do.
The left doesn't tell you what they're doing.
They
now,
flap
the right
their
wing,
gums.
They lie.
Yeah, that's not a very good composite. Hold on a minute. We have to pause here and come right back with Charlotte right after this. Stay with us. Okay. Back with all of you and with Charlotte, and we're talking about intrigue, and these are actually reflections of what's been going on all around the country. It's not just
yep.
in Maine. It's a nationwide parasitizing pandemic. Go ahead.
I think so, and you know, I looked up Trojan horse. Really, one ought to do that and figure that out. You know, this has been a Trojan horse operation where they've been hiding. You know, the commies, the Trotskyites have been hiding inside the Trojan horse, and you know, the war after it's over. You know, the Greeks. I mean, the Trojans. They just thought that horse was so beautiful and everything, they wanted it, you know, and they didn't destroy it. But that finally, at the end, they open it up, and then the enemy pours out. and wins the war, right? Go look it up. It's really interesting. It's pretty similar to what's happening right here. Now, I want to make a point here with Heritage Foundation. The reason that they've managed to get away with this is because they're always, as far as Christians are concerned, and I'm one, you know, and they make a pretty good on giving the appearance of being pro-life, totally opposed to euthanasia, all in favor of family values, all that stuff. That's the cover. But then underneath it, you have this soft belly of the communist agenda, which I spelled out for you. Now, I have right in front of me here, we're going to go to the Attorney General, Janet Mills. Maine, this is at a website called State and, what's it called? Publicintegrity.org. And it says State Integrity. This is 2015. Maine gets F for failure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Grade in 2015 yeah. State Integrity Investigation. And it lists all of this, and I mean, everything. Judicial accountability. Well, we know all about that, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We know all about the judicial accountability in Sam's case, right? Here we had how many eyewitnesses?
Sickening.
We had a wonderful, yeah. wonderful police department report. The guy is never arrested or charged the night of it. He's run around the city or perhaps the country with a gun. This is amazing. And then we'll talk about judicial accountability, okay? Now what happens to the case files? They're locked, impounded. So you can't open them. We can't get the truth, of course, because Janet Mills doesn't want that. The Attorney General doesn't want that to happen, does she? She might not make governor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So one can say, oh, gee, I can't believe that could be happening in Maine, of all places. Well, listen, you know what? It's probably happening in your state. I hope not. I hope it's not an attempt, two attempted murders, right? One which left my son without vitals. He'll never be the same. The case files are locked. But our problem now is there's nowhere to go except to warn Americans where the agenda is coming from. I'm not saying it's not coming from the Democrats, too. They work together. I think Carnegie Corporation that I talk about, you know, until the end of the earth, which, you know, has a little book I always quote from, we'll use the schools to change America from a capitalist economic system to a planned economy. Well, in 1934, well, they did it. I'm not saying they weren't the ones involved. But I swear, I'll tell you one thing. They told Heritage, look, you take it now. When Reagan was elected, they said, the agenda goes to you. We're still going to work on it behind the scenes, but you're going to put it in. The Republicans are going to put in the commie agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your listeners really do understand me? Do you think they think I'm crazy, Jeff?
No, they understand. Are you kidding?
Your listeners.
They understand. I can't answer for any other programs. I would think that, honestly, in the broadest sense, if you go on the average talk show, they'll just scratch their head. Who is this woman? What's she talking about? They
yeah,
don't understand.
I know. They can't pronounce my name either. But I couldn't for 10 years. It took me a long time to learn.
Keep introducing yourself to your new name. Yes.
I know.
How do you
but
do, anyway, Mrs. Izzerbe?
These are, you know, three very important. I mean, this to me, look, if I don't know what's going out there of the rest of the 49 states. You've got elections coming up, too. If you've got an attorney general running who's got a record like this one...
They're all corrupt or they don't run. They don't run. They don't run. They don't get to that position unless they are controlled. You know that. Come on.
Yeah, well, who is it that is controlling this woman? And, you know, there are a lot of other wonderful people who could be doing this interview. Dottie LaFortune is probably one of the greatest patriots I have ever known.
Wow.
Been
That's
around
a
lot longer than I in Maine and trying to bring out this absolutely corrupt system in the state of Maine. And she's got a website and... She works 24 hours a day at it. You'd never believe it. She used to teach ballet. She's this tiny, lovely little lady who is so brilliant. And she's constantly getting the information out on her website, mainly Unspoken, it's called, Dottie's website. And we get nowhere. We get nowhere in the state of Maine because we have this big control, which came in shortly after Stuart Butler came over from England. And the Heritage Foundation agenda, starting with socialized medicine. I mean, I'm looking in an old Office of Economic Cooperation and Development. That doesn't mean anything to the listeners, but that's, you know, part of the UN and part of the whole operation UNESCO and all. I was looking at it today. It was fairly, I think it was in 1980 or something. I came out of my office. And it talks about how they were going to use Europe's, you know, Britain's socialized medicine. It's a model for everything. It's the PPBS, Total Quality Management Model. So what do they do? So then you get, what's his name, coming over here to Heritage? Stuart Butler comes over in the
late
70s
That's
to Heritage?
Yeah, and I wonder how Reagan would have felt about that.
I think he just loved it.
I had to, from what you're telling us.
Yeah. He just loved it. I mean, does this make me feel good? What an idiot. Look, I was a fool. When I was going to go down to Washington to work for the Department of Ed, the Southern California brilliance down there, you know, those are all the ones who really were called cuckoos, but they knew exactly what was going on. You know, that's where you got Gary Yell and Alan Stang, the whole crowd who knew. Writing that great book,
Under
a Call of Conspiracy, you name it, Alan Stang, and tremendous newspapers and all.
Yeah.
And they contacted me.
Yeah.
And they said, what are you doing, Charlotte? Don't you understand who Reagan is? And they sent me Here's the Rest of Him by Kent Stefkin. And I'm such a loyalist to Reagan, I got mad at them.
Yeah.
And I put the book back in the library, and off I went to Washington.
Wow.
Well, I'm sort of glad I was stupid, because if I hadn't been, I wouldn't have gone. But
that's true. That's true.
And I saw.
Stupidity
everything.
Is the mother of genius, remember.
Yes. Yes. So I went, I saw, I didn't conquer.
No, but you...
I leaked a document, got myself fired, but...
You pilfered, and you came out on top. You told us the truth.
I went home, I pulled that book out. Of the library, I went home and I thought, ooh. if you want to find out about Ronald Reagan, go to Amazon and just get the book, Here's the Rest of Him, by Kent Stefkin. Once we get Ronald Reagan out of our hair, we can move on.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen.
I don't know whether it's too late to solve it, but I do know it's sort of nice to be able to point to just something other than the Trojans and the Greeks and their war. We've had a biggie here. The same, excuse me, blankety-blank thing happened.
Right.
The Trojan horse.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they do it. That's how they do it. Nothing new. Same old thing. They just put a new coat of paint on it, new name. But it's the same old tactic, and it works. Come on.
It does, but, you know, if the people weren't so deliberately dumbed down, they might know something about the Trojan horse.
Yes, yes,
What do you think the Trojan horse is? Maybe they think it's, you know, something to keep women from getting pregnant or something. Huh? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have any idea. They probably don't know the mythology about it at all. It's not a myth. It was real. But they don't know.
Well, now I'm going to ask you something. What is your attitude towards what's going on right now? You can talk for the rest of the interview. I'm tired.
Good God. It's the greatest freak show.
I'm turning it over to you. I'm going to be the interviewer, okay?
It's the great. You can ask me questions.
Yeah, I'm going to interview.
It is truly a freak show. And you just don't know which side of the bed you're on anymore. It's all jumbled. It's a war on semantics. People don't have any idea of what they used to think of in terms of values, morality. Nope. It's gone. We've been taken down, and it's literally crumbling all around us. And now we're being invaded with people from the third world, and these are soldiers coming in here to finish the job.
Oh.
Okay.
And we're hiring. Our police chief was in charge, you know, actually he was not in charge of the good report. He must have been down at some FBI training session while the good police in Portland were pulling together that
Tel Aviv,
all the eyewitness for things and all.
Tel Aviv training session.
And can you imagine what these good police are thinking when our chief, you know, I think they hate him so, that they're resigning? So he's got 20 openings. Portland's not that big. He can't fill them. He has,
20,
to pay $10,000 extra to each policeman who will volunteer to work for the Portland Police Department. And he's also now so desperate, he's hiring non-citizens.
Oh, yeah. He'll hire some of those folks off the plane from Mogadishu, just like they did in Minneapolis.
Well, he'll do what they're doing in Italy, where they've got Chinese communist cops in Milan and Rome.
Yeah.
I mean, wait a minute.
No,
what is going to wake people up?
We've forcibly been made to no longer relate to what America was, could have been, should have been, and would have been.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question. Here, I'll just put a name out there. Senator Joseph P. McCarthy.
Yes.
All right? Laughed at, mocked at by all the liberal communist press.
I know, and he was so right.
Because he was right.
Jeff, I have to admit that, what was that, in the 50s, right?
Yeah.
You weren't even born there, were you?
It was early 50s, he was there.
Well, never tell me, when were you born?
1917.
Okay.
I took some time out, though. No,
right.
Joseph McCarthy has been vilified more than any other...
That's right.
...senator that I can think of. Think about it.
Well, yes, to such an extent that the guest you have on right now, whose name is Charlotte...
Do you remember your last name? It took a long time.
I pronounce it right correctly too now. Isserbeet. I went over in 1953 during the Korean War because I was quite a patriotic girl. And American Red Cross, which I don't approve of.
You were amazing. You were part of the fabric of what this country was.
Well, yeah, but I was stupid. Because when I went over, I was really concerned about the Korean War and the servicemen, all that. I hate war. And so that's why I went over. But I really was beginning to fall for all this garbage on McCarthy. I've told you the story before, so I thought...
Tell it again. People don't remember.
I fell for it. Oh, I thought he was a rabble-rouser, like, you know, I was being told that.
Yes.
23 years old. So I have to get over there and spend 2 years over there. You know, I wasn't in Korea. I was meant to be going there. I worked for a strategic air command base on Guam and in northern Japan at an air base. But when I came back on the freighter, this French freighter, third class, which was great because, see, they even had a bottle of wine and good food even in third class. We had all these refugees coming out of communist China and North Vietnam. And I spoke French. And some of them spoke English, and the Vietnamese spoke French.
That's so very interesting.
We had fascinating conversations for 6 weeks every day. And they told me what was going on with the communists in China and North Vietnam. And the one from China, she was a lovely lady. She'd taken her daughter over to Paris to study piano at the conservatory in Paris.
Wow.
And her father, during the Cultural Revolution, he was probably one of the leading pianists in communist China. And he was resisting, and they cut his hands off.
Oh, God.
No, and then the Vietnamese woman, her grandfather was a civic leader in North Vietnam, and he was complaining about the regime, and they cut his head off, and they put it on a pole and marched it around town. And so I'm being educated.
Big time.
This is little Charlotte, who was beginning to fall for this garbage about McCarthy. And I really, that was my education. I never got over it, especially when I ended up in Camden, Maine, and I got on the local school board, and I didn't like what I was looking at. And this teacher, master teacher, called me one day, and she'd taught around the world, too, and I couldn't believe it because everybody was beating up on me, you know, because of my position. I was opposed to everything. And I thought, uh-oh, another phone call. Ooh, I had enough of that. And she said, I just want to tell you I really appreciate the positions you're taking on the school board. And I thought, huh? She's a teacher, master teacher. And she said, but I don't think you understand. I said, I don't understand anything that I'm looking at with the new curriculum and the values that are changing, you know, changing, all this stuff. And she said, well, I want you to go to be trained down east to become a change agent. There's training going on. And I said, what's that? And she said, you'll find out. And she paid for me to go, a lot of money.
Huh.
And I went.
Uh-huh.
And I was trained there to be a change agent. And the interesting thing was they were training us, a lot of teachers too, good teachers from my district.
Yeah.
They were training us, get this, how to identify the resistors in our town, huh?
Jeez,
the resistors to all these horrible things like death education,
yeah.
You know, survival games
where
the students were asked to decide who's going to be allowed to in their lifeboat, who's going to be thrown in the ice water. So I was meant to go out and identify, actually, myself.
A snitch. When did
I realized that I was being trained to identify myself.
Yes, you were. That's bizarre. What a realization.
And that's how
pathetic,
innocent,
Target
naive
Charlotte.
Charlotte was educated.
Hmm.
That is
stunning.
To identify yourself, that's sort of interesting.
That's damned interesting.
I thought that I was interviewing you this last part of the thing.
No, that's all right.
We're almost finished.
I slipped out of it. Now, this background...
What are your views? I mean, there's got to be something positive coming out of what happened today.
Well, when you find it, let me know.
I saw something really weird about the guy who invented the, you know, the electric car. What's his name?
Oh, yes. It was Mr. Musk, but he's claiming it was some... Yes, Elon Musk.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
But that's the kind of news...
He's a strange guy.
Well... Yeah, but you see, he is strange. But you know what? Is he much stranger than a lot of other people?
No, he's just in private life, that's all. If he were in public life, he'd probably be considered more normal.
He must have a terribly high IQ, which shows, you know, you're better off without one.
In many ways, you couldn't have said anything more appropriate. It is a curse to be intelligent in this decaying, dilapidated society now. It's absolutely... Talk about change agents out there looking to identify you. They're out looking to identify intelligent, proactive people who are not reactive, who still think, and they're ostracized. Oh, they're ostracized. Yeah, and this starts at a very young age, of course. You see it all.
It's a tragedy because these
It's a total tragedy.
I've lived so long that the more children that I see and run into, they really are so bright and wonderful.
But what happens to that brightness and that wonder?
Oh, well, they extinguish it.
That's right.
The Skinner method now, if people don't realize, that's the method. That is absolutely it, taken to extremes through the computer technology, artificial intelligence.
Oh, and it's only going to get... Wait a minute. You know where we are now. Tune in 5 years and see where we are.
I know.
Huh?
Well, you know what? I'm lucky. I'm going to be dead probably sooner than you. Although you said you were born in 2000. You were born in 1917?
No, I was 14. I'm sorry. I lied. Listen,
we don't talk... World War I began.
We don't... Was that what it was? One? I was too young.
1914 is when World War One, I believe, began.
Here's the deal. You're probably going to be here for another 5 years easy. You're way, way too healthy and way too sharp. And plus, we need you. So you can't skate out of town yet.
I hope that this wasn't too depressing an interview. I love your listeners. I don't know how they tolerate me. But I don't know how they tolerate you either.
Well, It's all right. It's a fair statement. I tell what I feel to be my reality, and you certainly tell yours because it is a reality. You've lived it.
I have to hypothesize a lot of it. Terrible. We've never met. And I sent you that wonderful Enstrom's chocolate, you know, because I wanted to give you something, a present, way back when. And
well,
you didn't even want it because you don't eat properly. You just eat health food.
I breathe a lot.
Oh, does that take the place of eating?
A breatharian.
You know what? It is time for me to go to bed.
You go to bed. And listen, it's been always fun, and you have such a huge fan base around the world. Don't ever forget that. You can talk about anything.
Oh, there's still a few people with it. God bless God for giving us a sense of humor.
Isn't that the truth?
Good night. What would we do without it?
Go to sleep, dear Charlotte. Good night.
I will, and you too. And God bless again all your listeners
who I adore. Well, they adore you. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Miss Charlotte, the one and only. All right, we'll be right back with hour number two and a visit with Terrible Tim coming up next.